Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Also reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 6, Chapter 1, Text Number 18. Prayaschitani Chinani Narayana Pranmukham Na Nishpunanti Rajendra Surakumban Evapaga Prayastitani Chinani Narayana Pranmukham Nanish Punanti Rajendra Surakumbam Ivapagaha Prayaschitani Chirnani Narayana Paranmukham Nanish Punanti Rajendra Surakumbam Ivapagaha Prayaschitani Chirnani Narayana Paranmukham Nanishpunanti Rajendra Surahumham Ivapagaha. Prayaschitani, processes of atonement. Chirnani, very nicely performed. Narayana, Paranmukham, a non-devotee. Nanishpunanti, cannot purify. Rajendra, O King, Surakumbam, a pot containing liquor. Eva, like Apaga, the waters of the rivers. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. My dear King, as a pot containing liquor cannot be purified even if washed in the waters of many rivers, non-devotees cannot be purified by processes of atonement even if they perform them very well. Purport. To take advantage of the methods of atonement, one must be at least somewhat devoted. Otherwise, there is no chance of one's being purified. It is clear from this verse that even those who take advantage of karmakanda and jnanakanda, but are not at least slightly devoted, cannot be purified simply by following these other paths. The word prayaschitani is plural in number to indicate both karmakanda and jnanakanda. Narottam Das Thakur therefore says karmakanda, jnanakanda, kevala visharabandha. Thus Narottam Das Thakur compares the paths of karmakanda and jnanakanda to pots of poison. Liquor and poison are in the same category. According to this verse from Srimad Bhagavatam, a person who has heard a good deal about the path of devotional service, but who is not attached to it, who is not Krishna conscious, is like a pot of liquor. Such a person cannot be purified without at least a slight touch of devotional service. Please repeat. My dear King, as a pot containing liquor cannot be purified even if washed in the waters of many rivers, non-devotees cannot be purified by processes of atonement, even if they perform them very well. Om Gyanatavanandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Malitam Jena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namah Mukham Kroti Vachalam Bhangam Nankai Tegarin Yat Kripata Raham Bande Shri Gurum Dina Tadaram Vanchakapati Vyascha Kripa Sindhub Devacha Patitanam Pavane Vyavaisnava Vyo Namo Namah Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Sivasari Gaur Bhaktivinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Srila Prabhupada mentions here in the purport that one must be at least a little desirous of being devoted or engaged in devotional service in order for one to be purified. So this is the goal of the human form of life, is to become purified and develop our love for Krishna. The reason we don't have love for Krishna is because we're impure. Many times when I'm distributing books, I tell them that this book teaches you how to become pure. And as long as you're impure, you're not happy. When you become completely pure, then you'll be happy. Appreciate that sense. And this is the fact. It's because of impurities that we aren't satisfied. So purity means being devoted to serving Krishna. Parikshit Maharaj, he's asking here how, or not in this verse, but this whole pastime here, is how these living entities can avoid going to hell. So first, he was tested by this statement about atonement, and Parikshit Maharaj, he won't accept that, because Prabhupada gives the example of the elephant that goes to the river to bathe and then comes out and throws dust on himself. So this is what he compared to atonement, that someone may form some atonement, but then he, again, because he's impure, he's still impure, therefore he becomes contaminated again. Or in the Christian religion also, there's the confession. They would go and they would confess about their sins, and then they would go and sin more. In many instances I've heard that a man will go to, he'll do some confession, say, oh, I engaged in illicit sex outside of marriage, I had sex. And the priest will ask, oh, this is not good. And what is her name? And he'll tell the name, and then the priest goes and finds her, and he also has illicit sex. So this is, of course, in our society also, so much exploitation, you know, of our leaders that exploited women. So it's not only in other faiths. And this is one of the, sometimes people think, well, if I commit some sinful activity, then I chant the holy names and I'm purified. So this is one of the, Prabhupada said, this is the greatest offense, seventh offense, to commit sinful activities on the strength of chanting the holy name. Then I'll get purified if I just chant the holy name, but I'll engage a little sinful activity here and there. But it's very inauspicious. This is using Krishna, trying to use Krishna for one's own sense gratification. But no, the goal is to engage in devotional service, is to completely give up this sense gratification. In the spiritual world, all there is service. In the material world, all there is sense gratification. Everybody is interested in sense gratification. But as it's stated here, this is actually poison for the soul. Or liquor. It's like drinking liquor to engage in sense gratification. So the pleasure of the soul is to engage in devotional service, to serve Krishna and to serve Krishna's devotees. You know, this is actually what we're searching for. This is pure devotional service, where one is simply interested in pleasing Krishna. Anya bilasita sunyam jnana karma dinavt anakoyena krishna nasidanam bhakti uttama. Devotional service means to engage in the service of Krishna without any desire for fruitive activities or mental speculation, and unmotivated and uninterrupted. This is the ultimate goal of life. So this will give ultimate pleasure to the soul. So we also have this understanding that when one accepts initiation from the spiritual master, then he takes the karma. Right? But it doesn't stop there. Prabhupada said, then that's where it begins. This diksha. So we continue on, engage in devotional service. Or the Christians also, they say, well, Jesus, he died for our sins, and therefore we can sin now, because he's covered it now. It's okay, it's all covered now. But just, so this is not right. We also have to endeavor in devotional service. It's like now we have this month of Damodar coming up. So we'll be singing this wonderful prayer about Lord Damodar. So in this pastime, it's, he's Krishna, he's done some naughty activities. So now Mother Yasoda wants to bind him, and she's caught him, and she wants to punish him, so she's going to tie him up. But two fingers too short. And she gets more rope. Still two fingers too short. So Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, he says these two fingers represent two things. That is, the living entity's endeavor in devotional service and the mercy of Krishna. These two things. So we have to endeavor. It's not that automatically we're going to advance in spiritual life by taking an initiation. No, we have to also endeavor very enthusiastically. And we also have to pray for the mercy of Krishna. Utsaha nishtya dharya tat tat karma pavartana sangatyaga satovate sadbir bhakti. That we had to be very enthusiastic in our service to Krishna. Whatever it is we're doing. And there's so many different services that we're engaged in our ISKCON society. And so we should do it very enthusiastically. Prabhupada said, even if you're not enthusiastic, then just act enthusiastically, and eventually you'll become enthusiastic. And we have to be patient. You have to understand that it's not an easy thing, this path that we've entered into. It's not an easy thing, so we have to be patient and enthusiastic, determined, confident that we'll attain the highest goal of life. So this is the way to advance in spiritual life, that we have to be very enthusiastic. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur was once asked by one of his household disciples living outside of the mat, and he said to Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur that the matvasis, the brahmacharis, they've given up everything and they're living in the brahmacharya ashram, but it doesn't appear like they're improving very much in their devotional service. And Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he said it's because they have intestinal worms. Just like if someone has worms and he eats, then it gets consumed by the worms. So he's not healthy. He doesn't get the nourishment. So he said, so the brahmacharis, they have these intestinal worms. And what are those intestinal worms? Selfishness and secret bad behavior. Selfishness and secret bad behavior. Interesting. This is back in the 30s. There was no computers. They didn't have cars. They couldn't, drive off. And, they're living in the ashram. And he said, these are the two reasons why they don't get the bhakti that we're searching for. Selfishness and secret bad behavior. So when we're engaged in our activities, we should always know that Krishna is there. Sometimes we may think, well, no one's watching me. But no. What is that? And the question of Krishna is everyone who sees me everywhere and sees everything in me. Yomam pashati sarvatra saram chmai pashtashyaham na panashasashmi na pashti. Krishna, he's everywhere. And a devotee who sees Krishna everywhere and sees everything in me, he's never lost to me, nor am I ever lost to him. So Krishna, he's seen everything. There's no secrets. So we should try to engage in activities which are pleasing to Krishna. Feel like Krishna is right here. He's watching whatever I'm doing. There's no secrets. And engage in our activities in an enthusiastic way. Then Krishna, he's very pleased by this. So this verse, Utsahanasyadaya Tatkat Karma Pavartana, he says here also that engage in activities which are favorable for devotional service. So we know what's favorable. Many things are very favorable. Of course, in this age of Kali, the most favorable thing that we can do is, of course, to chant Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare, and to distribute this holy name, Krishna, the Brihat Mardanga. He says, Yaidang Paramango Yan Madbhaktes Vadhasita. Krishna, he says that when he was distributing this great secret of devotional service is most dear to me. Nacha tasman manushyesu kashyam me prikritama. And there'll never be anyone more dear to me than that person who is distributing this message. So Krishna has given us a clear hint here of what is very pleasing to him. To distribute this knowledge, to distribute the holy name of Krishna. Krishna is very pleased by this. So in the last sentence here, Srila Prabhupada says, such a person cannot be purified without at least a slight touch of devotional service. So we have to pray for this desire to engage in devotional service. And Krishna, he fulfills. A man proposes and God disposes. So we have to pray for this very earnestly to engage in devotional service. And Krishna, he will give it. depending on our sincerity, depending on how intense our desire is. Because Maya is very powerful. Srila Prabhupada gives an example that as we advance in Krishna consciousness, then our tests will become more and more strong. Maya will present stronger and stronger tests as we advance more. Just like the closer you get to a light, the bigger the shadow, right? Closer you get to a big light, then the shadow becomes more and more enlarged, right? So the closer we get to Krishna, then Maya becomes more and more powerful, more and more. The tests get stronger and stronger. And Prabhupada said that the last test of Maya is where the living entity thinks, I'm God. Yeah, so that's the biggest test to pass. Everybody is thinking this more or less, that I'm the enjoyer, I'm the proprietor, I'm the friend of all living entities. So this is the position of Krishna. And as long as we don't understand that Krishna, he's the supreme enjoyer, that he's the supreme proprietor, he's the friend of all living entities, as long as we don't understand that, then we're going to be harassed by the material nature. We're going to continually be harassed by the material nature. So we have to surrender. Sarvadharmam parityajam mamekam saranam vraja ahang tvang sarvapapevyo moksha vasucha. Krishna says, abandon all varieties of religion and surrender unto me. I will free you from all sin-free action. Do not fear. So we have to either surrender to Krishna or we surrender to Maya. If we surrender to Krishna, then we can understand how fortunate we are. And if we surrender to Maya, we can't understand how unfortunate we are. So we can go either way. So maybe I'll stop a little early today. Any question or comment? Yes, Prabhu. Speaker is just now coming. Microphone.
Yeah, thank you for the nice class. You mentioned that Srila Prabhupada repeatedly throughout his books, he very often actually points out that the last snare of Maya, he warns us that the last snare of Maya is that we think that we've become God. And in the culture that he established within this movement, and in the generally given the very strict program that we follow in ISKCON, it doesn't seem very likely that someone might actually come up with that concept. So I was wondering if you can just maybe elaborate on how you feel that this is a danger to us. It doesn't seem that way.
Well, it's a subtle thing. You know, we're still thinking that we're the enjoyer. We're trying to enjoy in various ways. You know, although in Krishna consciousness, still we're trying to enjoy our position, or trying to enjoy this and that. So, to act just for the pleasure of Krishna, this is a very advanced platform of devotional service, where whatever I'm doing, I'm simply doing it for the pleasure of Krishna. Just like I could be trying to enjoy this position right now. I'm sitting on the asana, Vyasa asana, and you're all down there listening to me. You know, I'm not listening to you, so my ego could really get a high off of this. You know, and it happens. You know, it happens to me. So I could be trying to enjoy this situation. Or you're a Sanskrit scholar. And many of our devotees that joined and became Sanskrit scholars, they gave up Krishna consciousness because they started thinking that they knew more than Prabhupada. Isn't it? You know about that. Yeah. So one could, in any position, one could try to enjoy, you know, that position. So to give up this enjoying propensity is very difficult, because we're pleasure seeking like Krishna. You know, we're little. Prabhupada actually many times he said we're like little gods. But to understand that we're small, that's not easy, because we have this big false ego. This it's like a monster. You know, this false ego, it's like a monster, and this monster is filled with all these horrible qualities of lust and greed and anger and envy, and we get consumed by this monster mentality of trying to be Krishna or the proprietor. We have things. We might have our iPod or iPhone, or we have our furniture, or we have our this or that. We think that it belongs to me, but no. Isavasham idang sarvam yat kincha jagat yan chagat chaktena chena chaktena bunja magurta kashyasvidhanam. That Krishna, he's the owner of everything. Nothing belongs to us. We're borrowing things, but everything belongs to Krishna. So to understand that everything belongs to Krishna, that not even one piece of paper that we may have in our possession belongs to me. Everything is Krishna's, and we're just borrowing it. So this is Krishna consciousness. But to understand this fully, it's not easy. And to be the friend, Krishna's the friend of all living entities. We may try to create so many. I know there's one devotee, book distributor. He said, "I just distributed books because I knew that everybody would like me if I distribute books." So he was trying to be like that, trying to be the friend of everyone. Of course, we want to be friendly to everyone. There's a very nice verse in the Srimad Bhagavatam. Tatikshaya karuniya maitra chikila jantushu samatvena chisharvatma bhagavan sampratidhiti. That Krishna, he is very pleased when a devotee approaches others with these four qualities: tolerance, compassion, friendliness, and equality. Krishna is very pleased when his devotees approach others with these qualities. Yes, Archita Prabhu. Mm-hmm. Can we become bewildered by...
You said that Maya, as you advance, Maya gives you stronger and stronger tests.
Oh, yeah, okay.
So she wants to know if bodily illness is one of those. Because she says when the mind is peaceful, there is no anxiety, everything's fine. And then when illness comes, it's not so easy.
Yeah, that could be a big test. That could be a very big test. We've seen devotees. There's many examples of devotees that got cancer. And that's a big test. Will you be able to remain Krishna conscious in that test? That's a big test. And we've seen many devotees pass that test. But actually, in one sense, disease sometimes helps the one to surrender to Krishna. I know there was one devotee, he was a big book distributor, one of the biggest book distributors in the history of ISKCON. Who went to Australia? What was his name? Bhudi Manta. He was a famous book distributor, huge. But after some time, for whatever reason, he gave up Krishna consciousness. But then he found that he had cancer. So as soon as he found out that he had terminal cancer, he went to Vrindavan and distributed books in Vrindavan. And left his body in Vrindavan. Amazing. So sometimes it's a boon, to have some disease, but it can also be a test. The biggest test is when one gets success. That's the biggest test. There's been examples of devotees getting big inheritances. Tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands of dollars, and giving up Krishna consciousness. Or becoming very advanced. One has this ability to give nice lectures, and people are praising his lectures, and actually is very expert at giving lectures. But then it can go to the head. That success of being able to give really nice and inspiring lectures can bewilder a person. Or to have success in book distribution also. I have so many examples of devotees that were extremely successful in book distribution, but then so many of them gave up Krishna consciousness. So this is the biggest test. Janmaiswarya Shuta Shribir Edamana Madapuma Naivarhatya Vatakin Tomi Kinchina Goshram. These are the big tests. High birth, Aishwarya, to have opulence, so this is to have education, to have beauty. These are the main tests that one will face in devotional service. So the way to pass these tests is that we have to be really connected to Krishna. If we're not connected through devotional service, then there's no hope. Then we're gonna eventually become bewildered by Maya. Maya is so powerful. Yes, Savas.
Well, thank you for a nice class.
Thank you.
Just hearing you just reminded me that I did hear class by Prabhupada on the fifth canto, and there Prabhupada talked about tapasya, and he described tapasya as something that we don't want to do. We don't like it. We don't want to do it. But one does it in order to satisfy, Prabhupada said, use the word, the authority. And the authority, of course, referring to Krishna, because that's what Krishna wants. So Prabhupada said that in order for one to go back to Godhead, one must perform this tapasya and do things that you don't want to do because it's Krishna's order. And Prabhupada says from that activity, you gradually develop love. And that love will become selfless. It's like if you love someone, if they get sick, if you really love them, you'll stay there and nurture them and help them and do whatever you can to ease their pain and their suffering, to ease their, to help them, make them feel comfortable. So it's imperative for us that we perform this tapasya and do things that we don't want to do. And we don't need to name those things, but there's a lot of things we just absolutely don't want to do. But if we don't do them, how will we develop love? I mean, how true love? In other words, if we want to help Srila Prabhupada's mission, how can we really help Prabhupada's mission unless we really love him or develop love for him? And the only way we can develop love for Prabhupada is to do the things that he's asked us to do, which we don't want to do. We just absolutely don't like it. And we don't even like anyone to tell us to do them. Because if you start telling somebody to do that thing, they get, well, who are you? Why are you telling me to do this? I don't want to do this. And really, this is the crux, the essence. Because we can't go back to Godhead unless we love Krishna. It's not that we're going to get and slip through the back door. Somebody's going to leave a crack open like we do in the Pujari room over here, this door. Somebody's going to leave that door opener in the door so that you can just kind of slip in and out.
We can't barge into the kingdom of God.
You need to have a key. You got to get a key to get in there. You can't kick the transcendental door down. With your foot, kick it down and then... No. It has to be with genuine love. And Prabhupada said that love doesn't come unless you perform tapasya. Do things you don't want to do.
Thank you. Amala Bhakta Prabhu.
Thank you, Prabhu, for a nice class. You mentioned during the course of your talk that we have to pray earnestly for devotional service. You made that point. And I began to wonder, because each and every one of us is chanting approximately 2 hours And that is devotional service. In other words, we are performing devotional service. So when you say we should pray for devotional service, do you mean we should pray for more than the 2 hours to get other? There are 9 forms of devotional service, and each and every one of us are performing one or more of them. So what do you mean when you say we should perform devotional service when we're all already performing devotional service?
Well, Srila Prabhupada, he said when we're chanting the holy name, he gave actually, there's 2 instructions that I'm familiar with. Chant like a child crying out to the mother. That was 1 instruction. So sometimes, I mean, I don't know about you, but myself, sometimes I chant a whole round and I didn't hear 1 name. Yeah. So to pray for devotional service means that we actually have to, while we're chanting, we have to really fervently pray, Krishna, please engage me in your service with this mood. And I might have mentioned this earlier, but Bhakti Tirtha Swami, whenever he would find that he was inattentive in his chanting, he would back up on a few beads or whatever, and then he'd start chanting again. So I started doing that also. This really helps in my japa, you know, because the mind, you know, the mind is just going everywhere. So this kind of, it's training, good training for the mind to go back and let's try it again. There, you know, you're off. So it's very good. So, well, although we're chanting the holy name in those 2 hours, there's a quality of the chanting also. So Prabhupada said that we should chant like a child crying out to mother, and he said also we should hear every syllable. That's another. It's difficult to hear every syllable. You know. So is that okay? Wait, we got about 80 people on the internet also. Here's the microphone.
Yes, thank you. So what you meant is not that we should pray for devotional service, but that we should pray to perform devotional service in a manner which is expressly pleasing to the spiritual master and Krishna. Is that correct?
That's devotional service.
Yeah.
Doing it.
Well, no,
pleasing.
Anyone who is chanting is performing devotional service, but you can perform it perfectly or imperfectly. Mm. So what you just explained is that we should perform it as perfectly as we can based upon the Acharya's instructions.
Yes.
Is that right?
Yes.
Thank you for a nice class, Prabhu. You just mentioned the word tapasya was just mentioned and the explanation the Prabhupada was given about tapasya.
Turn the volume down, somebody.
So, in Prabhupada's time, we heard many stories of how devotees will do anything for a person that you love. And sometimes even you find people that may not, probably. But we've seen that even now at the present time that physically Prabhupada is not present, many devotees who did love him, for whatever reason they left. So my question is that in difficult times like now that Prabhupada is not physically present, how can you make devotees to actually do that tapasya? Because my understanding is out of love anyone will do anything for the person. Whatever they ask you to do, you'll do it. When you don't have that charismatic person, and for that reason goes for anything, not just for a spiritual group, but even the President of the United States, any organization.
Yeah. Good question. Yeah, that's a big test. When the spiritual master, especially when the Acharya leaves, that's a big test. And therefore, when Prabhupada left, a lot of people left. Prabhupada said, don't leave our ISKCON society. So many people left. And that was a big test. And with all the difficulties we've had in ISKCON, also, I mean, that's a big test to be able to stay within our ISKCON society. Although we've had so many difficulties, so many trials within our society. So that's a big test in itself. So Prabhupada, he once said, spiritual society in the material world, very difficult proposal. It was very difficult. And it's also very difficult to stay within a society that's having difficulty in advancing in our society. So that's a big test right there. And if those people who have been able to stay within our ISKCON society and engage in devotional service, those are the great souls. Because although Prabhupada's not personally present here, they're accepting the Vani. There's a Vapu and Vani. But they're so advanced that they're stuck to that Vani of Srila Prabhupada. Archita Prabhu. Okay.
Once Srila Kirti went to Prabhupada and said, "Prabhupada, I see how my God brothers and God sisters love you so much. When you come, they cry, they listen. I don't feel like I'm on a..." Prabhupada said, didn't answer right away, but later he said, "Do you like the service that you're doing for me?" And he said, "Yes, Prabhupada." He said, "So that's love." But if we look at it objectively, did these devotees really, really love Prabhupada? Or was it because that they saw that he sacrificed himself? And that's what was missing after he left. Devotees gladly sacrificed to Prabhupada because they saw that he was sacrificing. He sacrificed everything to come here at the age of 70. And he kept on sacrificing to give us the books and to spread the movement and to solve so many problems. And when you see somebody doing that, then naturally you want to do that too. After Prabhupada left, that was not necessarily the case. So if you don't have leaders who are sacrificing, the followers are not going to sacrifice. So it always starts at the top. We were all willing to sacrifice to Prabhupada because he was sacrificing. If you have leaders who are telling you to sacrifice, but they're not sacrificing, it doesn't work. It doesn't work. So it always starts at the top. The genuine love may not be there. You can't really say, you know, right off the bat that you love Prabhupada. I think that's giving yourself a little too much credit. Love comes, you know, down the road, way down the road for most of us. But at least when the example is there, you can follow that example. When the acharya sets the example of sacrifice, then you're willing to sacrifice. But if those who are in leadership position don't necessarily sacrifice so much, and the followers are not necessarily going to, we want to sacrifice.
Thank you very much. Okay, last one. We have Satya Chinoy.
So, in that explanation that Archita gave, that's true, partially true, I would say. But there's the other part that if you don't have that person that you love that much, and somebody asks you to do something, then that person should be able to actually be able to have the skill or the ability to engage properly a person in what he wants to do, because you don't have that love. So if I am expert writer or good in literature, and this person is engaging me in something that has nothing to do with that, no, you got to do this because this is good for you. So my response to that would be that, yes, still there's some little, can't find the word, a skill of ability that person should be able to have, that ability to engage properly a person in that direction.
Propensity.
And gradually, maybe eventually, will be attached and do whatever after that. But from the beginning, because there's not that love, there's not that care, there's not that... So how can you be enthusiastic to do some service if you're not in that proper consciousness? This is what I can do, this is what I can offer. But somebody's telling me to do something else. I don't know if I'm properly putting this, but I'm just trying to.
Suvas.
If you join a new company and you want to be up to the top and right next to the CEO of the company, and you want to sit there and be right with them and do everything that they do and get all the kudos that they have, that's a bit ridiculous.
Jumping over.
Yeah. What you do is you start from the bottom, work your way up. That's just a natural understanding, even in the material world. What to speak of the spiritual world. Even Prabhupada tells us, don't look at Krishna's face immediately. First you start with the feet, and then become qualified to look at the face. Yeah. So if you have certain propensities, first become qualified to use those in Krishna's service by your yajna, by your tapasya, by your sacrifice. And then by that activity, in due course of time, you will get the opportunity to utilize your propensity. Mm-hmm. Krishna will reveal it to you. Because like sometimes devotees would come in the very beginning and they would have a PhD and they want to do so many things, they end up in a kitchen washing pots. That wasn't their propensity. They didn't come to Krishna consciousness to wash pots. None of us did.
but that's what we used to do, or clean the floor, or clean the bathroom. And in due course of time, one eventually progresses according to one's advancement and one's desire to serve.
Yeah,
and
first
once
we,
that's exposed, then the natural propensity, it's like if you want to know who you are in the spiritual world, it's going to take you a few lifetimes to understand who you are. You're not going to know that immediately just because you walked in the door of Krishna consciousness. It takes years and years, and then maybe you might have that fortune.
First, we have to develop humility. Therefore, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, when anyone would come, first he would have them wash pots for a year. That was the service for anybody that would come to the ashram. First thing is humility. Then let's see what service you can engage in. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki. Yeah.